Hi, welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. This is Jacob Romwitz, and today we will be concluding the fourth and beginning the fifth chapter of Maseches Sota. Mishnah Hay, the last Mishnah in the fourth parak, says, Ve'elu shebeizdin mekanin lehen. These are the women who beizdin warns instead of their husbands warning them when it comes to secluding themselves with an object of jealousy. Mishnishara shbala oshinis tata. A woman whose husband has become a cheresh or a shote, meaning that either he has become deaf and mute and is unable to communicate, or he has lost his mental capacities, so he's not fit to do so. Oshahaya chavush babes ha'asurin, or the husband is locked away in prison somewhere, so he's simply not available to do so. Lola hashko salmru elapasla miksubasa. They don't warn her so that she should drink the sota waters, but rather just so that she should not get the value of her ksuba if she violates the terms. Rabbi Yossi says, afla hashkosa. They even warn her when it comes to drinking the water. Lekashiyetse bala bimbes hasurin yashkena. Because he says that when her husband is released from prison, he can have her drink based on the warning that Beistin gave the wife. Let's take a look in the Bartonura now. Ve'elu shebeistin mekanin lehen, these are the women who Beistin give the warning to. Im roenosan shmisnagos bepritzus. If they see that these women are acting promiscuously, so they of course have to have reason to do so. The fact that someone's husband is in jail isn't enough of a reason to give her a warning. They have to see that she's someone who is actually in danger of such impropriety. Lola hashkosa amru. So the chachamim say that it's not to cause her to drink, only to invalidate the ksuba if she violates the terms. So why not to make her drink? Because the Torah says that the husband brings his wife, and that's just not the case here. And they are of the opinion that the husband also could not cause her to drink when he gets out of prison because Beis Din warned her. We need he warns her and he brings her. So the pasuk says both. For Rabbi Yossi, lo boy v'kina v'hevi, v'ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi feels that he warns her and he brings her is not, they're not mutually required. That the lack of he warns her doesn't preclude he brings her. But the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi. So as we say in the first part of the Mishnah, these women are only warned when it comes to losing the ksuba if they act inappropriately. That is the end of Perek Dalet. Let us move right on to Perek Hay. Kashem shahamayim bodkin osa, kachamayim bodkin oso. Just like the waters test the woman, they also test the man. Quick look in Bartonura, es haboel, the adulterer, not the husband. It tests the woman with whom she is accused of being unfaithful. Back in the Mishnah. Shne'amar uva'u uva'u. So it says uva'u twice, the waters will go. One is for the woman and one is for the adulterer. Next. Kishem she'asura labal, kach asura laboel, just like she is prohibited to her husband, she is also prohibited to the adulterer, so it's not like she can get divorced and then marry him. She'ne'amar, nitma'a v'nitma'a. So there's two words in two psukim. One says that she is defiled, another says, and she is defiled. So one excludes her from living with the husband, the other excludes her from going to live with the adulterer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, this is the way that Rabbi Akiva explains it. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kachaya Doresh Zachariah ben Hakatzav. He says that this was also the way that Zachariah ben Hakatzav understood the matter. However, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, Shnei Pa'amim Ha'amurim B'Parsha Im Nitma'a Nitma'a. So he says that it's said twice in the subject of the Sota. One says if she is defiled, and the other one says defiled. Echad Labav, Echad Laboel. That one is for the husband, and one is for the adulterer. Now, what's the difference between this and the previous interpretation? They come up with the same result. What's the difference? We'll see that just momentarily. First, uva'u uva'u, shnehim b'vav yisera l'darsha. So both have the vav yisera. Both times it says uva'u, it has the extra vav, which is for interpretation or exegesis. So the first opinion, which is Rabbi Akiva, is nitma'a vin nitma'a. So it says she is defiled, and it says and she is defiled. Vaviseira dibba vin nitma'a shnia ladarsha. So the superfluous vav in the second instance of vin nitma'a is for interpretation. Rebbe Omer shnei pa'amim. Rebbe says it says twice. Rebbe lo darish vav yaseira. He doesn't interpret the superfluous vav, Rebbe Akiva, the way that Rebbe Akiva does. El riboy dekra kadarish. Rather, he interprets the redundancy or the amplification of the verses. Bein uva'u uva'u, the fact that it says uva'u twice. Bein benitma'a vinitma'a, and the fact that it says nitma'a twice. So the vav is what's important. The seemingly superfluous vav is what Rebbe Akiva darshins. The repetition of words is what Rebbe darshins. Either way, they come out with the same result. Okay, that's the end of today's lesson. Join us tomorrow when we will continue with Mishnayos Beis and Gimel.